I love you. I'm glad you're here to worship with us tonight. I've been praying about your family this week, been thinking a lot about you, and my hope is that tomorrow, when you get up and you get past all the presents and you get past family breakfast and you get away from that aunt that you don't want to see anymore, I pray that tomorrow would be a day of rest. I pray you'd get some time to have joy, that you would just be with your family, with those that you love, that you'd be full of the Spirit, and that you would have some joy tomorrow. That's my hope for you. And as we go to 2018, my prayer is that it would just be a year full of experiencing God, that God would do a new thing in your life, that he would reveal himself to you in some wonderfully mighty big ways. Let me pray, and we're going to dive into the Word together. Father, we love you. We praise you for your kindness. We bless you because of your goodness. Father, I pray now that in these next couple of moments, you would fill us with joy at your coming. Fill us with an awareness of your presence. Fill us with hope as we think about you coming again. Father, there are many needs of many different varieties in this room. And so I pray, Father, that your presence would fill us with whatever it is that we need. It's the gift that keeps on giving, and we praise you for that. Father, forgive the one who speaks. My sins are many, and I just pray that your Spirit would flow. It's in your name we pray. Amen. You know, my wife and I, we have a terrible track record of giving gifts at Christmas. Every year that we've been married so far, we give our gifts to each other way too early. Like the first couple of years, it was so bad that we would buy our gifts, we would wrap them, we'd put them under the tree, and we'd make it like 3 hours. And it'd be like, all right, just take your gift. And so like December 7th, we'd be opening gifts, and we'd have nothing to look forward to for the next like 20 days or whatever it was. This year, we decided that that was gonna change. We were going to hold off until Christmas. We were going to put our feet down. This is the year that we're going to make it. And if we make it to tomorrow morning and we don't cave tonight, which I can't make any promises, this will be the first year that we've successfully made it to Christmas to open our presents. Because I knew that we were going to try to wait and be disciplined about that this year, I wanted to get Hannah something really awesome. I wanted to get her like the ultimate gift. And so I started thinking of all these different ideas. And I didn't ask for a list because I wanted it to be a surprise. You know, I wanted to try to pick something out on my own. I thought, I'm going to be really creative and find something really cool. And that turned out to be a lot harder than I thought it was going to be. I was talking to my friend Alec about this last night. It's really hard to buy for your wife. Like, it's a very big challenge because you can't do clothes, because if you do clothes, you venture into like the murky water of guessing sizes, and that's not a guessing game you want to lose, right? Like, you don't want to show up with the wrong size. That's just not going to go over well. You can't do jewelry, or at least you can't afford the jewelry that she wants you to do. I can't anyway. And so I thought, you know what, I'll get a gift card. And then that idea lasted about 5 minutes. And I thought, that's not going to go well for me. Like, I need an idea here. And so I thought, you know what, I'll go to the Dayton Mall. And I went out to the Dayton Mall. And I was just like traveling through all these different stores, searching like 5, 6, 7 stores to try to find the perfect gift. And finally, as I'm in a store, my eyes just locked onto it. And I go, that's what I'm going to get. That's going to be perfect. I knew that it would be something that she would really like. And so I bought the gift and I took it home and I wanted to wrap it. Now, when you give a gift, presentation is key, right? Like, you want it to look really nice. And so I did like my best wrapping that I could. I even got on YouTube and I learned how to make like those fluffy little bows. So, hey, I'm proud of that. I'm really proud of that. Nothing makes you feel as manly as having a 9-year-old girl teach you how to make a bow on a YouTube video. But I love my wife, and so it is what it is, right? Got the gift ready, got it wrapped, got the bow, and I hatched this plan that included convincing her mom to lie for me. I put the present up in a closet, deep in the recesses of a closet we have upstairs, and then I told her parents to tell her that I was hiding it at their house so she wouldn't snoop around for it. Last night, I go upstairs and I get the present out and I'm getting it all ready to get ready for tomorrow morning and get it all finished up wrapping, put some final touches on it, and if everything goes well, tomorrow morning, I'm going to get to watch Hannah open this present for the first time in our marriage. It's going to be really cool. Like, I'm really excited about it. It's a lot of effort, but I believe it'll be worth the wait. And here's what I want you to know tonight. God has come to give you this ultimate present. And he's gone to the ultimate lengths to get the presentation of this present just right. Thousands of years before the arrival of the present, God promised that he would send it, that it would be like a game changer of a gift that would change our life and the way we live it forever. It's a present that he has gifted to anyone who's willing to receive it. Anyone who's willing to come and enjoy the present can have it. And here's the cool thing. God can't wait for you to open it up. He can't wait for you to open this great present he has for you, this great gift that he wants to give you. It brings joy to the heart of God to watch you experience the gift he wants to give you tonight. The text we're going to look at is Matthew chapter 1, and it's going to show us exactly what this gift is. We're going to look at verses 18 to 13 together real shortly. It says this: "This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and he didn't want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in her mind to divorce her quietly. After he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary home as your wife. What is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. What is conceived in her is this present that I want to give to you, Joseph. She will give birth to a son.'" That's the gift. "And you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet." All of this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said about the present. "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son." That's the gift. "And they will call his name Emmanuel," God with us. God with us. That's the gift. The great gift, the great present that God wants to give you tonight is the gift of himself, the gift of a relationship with him. Here's the main point for tonight. The greatest present is his presence. The greatest present is his presence. The greatest present that God could give to you on Christmas, the greatest gift that he wants to extend to you tonight, is the gift of his presence, the gift of himself, the gift of a relationship with him. So much so that he named the gift Emmanuel, God with us. That word Emmanuel, it's a compound word. It comes from the word emano, which means with us, and the word el, which is a short form for the Greek word for God. It literally could be translated the with us God. That's what Jesus is. He's the with us God. He's not just the near us God. He's not merely the around us God. He's not simply the somewhere in the zip code or in the vicinity around us God. He's the with us God. He's the God who became a baby so that he could be with us. And tonight, what I want to do together is I want to unwrap this beautiful present that God has given to us of his presence. I want to unwrap it for you so that you can see all that it means that God be with you, that he come near you, that he draw close to you, that he take up residence in you and live life through you. You know, the full meaning of Christmas can be summed up in those words, God with us. You could spend your whole life exploring the truth of those three words. You could spend your whole life unwrapping this present, and it would never lack its power or allure or wonder. You know, John Wesley, he was a great theologian in the 1700s. He traveled around England. He preached a sermon on every passage of the Bible nearly. He would ride horses around England. Historians say he preached 40,000 sermons in his lifetime. That's incredible. And he had like the Bible practically memorized, but on his deathbed, with his family gathered around him, he sat up and he said, "Best of all is this gift, God is with us." And he died with those words on his lips, God with us. Three simple words that have power, that bring joy, that flood a life with hope and with confidence. Here's why I want you to lean in and listen tonight. Because the number one promise in the Bible is that God will be with you if you're a believer. If you've put your hope in Jesus, the number one promise the Bible makes to you is, "I will be with you." So much so that the Bible just like says it on repeat. "I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll always be with you." And so that tells me that it's an incredibly important truth that God wants us to stake our lives on, that he wants us to anchor our souls with, is this truth that God is with us. And what I've discovered this week is that it's the gift that keeps on giving. as you unwrap the gift of God's presence in your life, it becomes more and more of a beautiful gift. The more completely you understand the fact that he is with you, the more fully aware you will be, and the more fully you will experience that his presence has so much to offer. And so I want to unwrap this gift together tonight. And what I want to do is I simply want to show you three facets of this gift. God's presence is the gift that keeps on giving. And so I want to show you some of the things that God's presence gives to you. And these are just a few because there are a lot. We could spend sermons upon sermons talking about the gifts that God's presence gives to us. So I just chose three tonight that I thought would be really helpful. The first thing God's presence gives to us is God's presence gives us courage. God's presence gives us courage. Deuteronomy 31 says, "Be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid. Don't be terrified. The Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you." You know the number one command in the Bible is do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Do not have fear. And 90% of the time, it's followed up with the greatest promise in the Bible, I will be with you. I will never leave you. There is no room for fear in the life of a Christian because we know that God is with us. And if he's with us, we have nothing to be afraid of. You know, when I was like 14 or 15 years old, I went on a missions trip to Atlanta, Georgia with our youth ministry. And I was pretty afraid on that trip for great reason. The first night we got there, we were working with a homeless shelter down there. And the director of the homeless shelter took us out to all these places we were gonna be serving in. And all these places, he wanted just to tell us about things that God has done. And what he did is at every one of these stops that we would stop at, he told us like a terrifying story of how how the work of God had been opposed by these evil people. One that I remember was we stopped at this garage on the side of the road, and there was just like this brick wall, and he stood up next to the brick wall, and he held his arms up a certain way, and as he held his arms up, you saw bullet holes under his arms and around his head, and he said, "Yeah, this is where I stood when the guy who I was witnessing to tried to shoot me, and all the bullets just barely missed me." And what he meant by that was, hey, don't be afraid. God is with you. Work hard this week. I'm telling you, it had the exact opposite effect on a group of 15-year-old kids. We were terrified. What's going to happen to us this week? Are we going to be okay? Should I call my mom? You know, I'm from Monroe. I don't think I want to do this. I'm going to go home, right? It was pretty frightening. And so, but we stayed, we served, we did the whole week. And on Friday, he gathered us all into like the cafeteria of the homeless shelter, and he brought these big burly men in. These guys that we'd seen actually while we were out working and in some of the places we'd been serving in. And he brought them in and he said, "I just want you guys to know, you were never alone this week. These were some of my men who've come through my ministry, and I've had them have their eyes on you all week." And all I thought was, that'd have been real nice to know on Sunday. You know, that'd have been great if you'd have told us that then, but that's not what he wanted to do. We were terrified, and we had no reason to be. And I would say there are some in this room who are terrified, worried, afraid, and you don't need to be. You don't need to be. And I don't say that lightly, because I know there's a lot of pain in this room. I know there's a lot of fear, but Isaiah 43 says, this is what the Lord says, "He who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, don't fear because I've redeemed you. I've summoned you by name. You're mine. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they won't sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you won't be burned. The flames won't set you ablaze." You know, it's interesting. This scripture doesn't promise us that life is going to be easy. You will pass through the waters. You will walk through the fires. But I'll be with you. I don't know what you're facing this Christmas. It could be sickness, loss. Maybe there's a big decision on the horizon. Maybe it's just been this settling bout of loneliness. I don't know what it is, but I know that you're not alone. I know that he promises he will be with you. I know that the greatest present is his presence, and I know that his presence will give you courage. Here's the second thing. His presence gives us comfort. His presence gives us comfort. Psalm 23 says, "Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, because you're with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." You know, a lot of pain surfaces and bubbles up around Christmas time. Some people are spending their first Christmas, some people in this room are spending their first Christmas without a loved one. Some people in this room have received terrible news that's just derailed the spirit of the holiday. And I thought a lot about those people this week as I prepared this message, and I want you to know, this is our hope. He is with us. He will comfort us. He will walk closely with us. He's the with us God. He's not the send you a casual text to let you know that I'm thinking of you or you're in my prayers, God. He's the pull up to the house, sit down on the couch, listen to your tearful prayers, and simply be with you to comfort you, God. And if you're hurting this Christmas, I want you to know he's with you and that he will comfort you. You know, one of the funny things or weird things about dealing with hurt in the holidays is navigating all of the different advice people want to give you. If you've never experienced hurt during Christmas, you might not understand what I'm saying, but I imagine plenty of you will. Sometimes when you experience hurt in the holidays, people have different advice they want to offer you. And sometimes it's really good and it's encouraging and it's comforting and the words they say mean a lot. But sometimes even well-meaning people can say things that just kind of sting a little bit, or maybe they just don't totally understand and their encouragement just kind of falls on deaf ears. What I want you to hear tonight is that your heavenly Father knows exactly the pain that you're experiencing. That the little baby in the manger, he grew to become a man that the Bible says was well acquainted with sorrow. That he saw life-threatening illness firsthand. That he lost close friends. That he was lonely. That he knew real pain. And all of that was so that he would be able to empathize with you, because he wants to comfort you. The Bible says, draw near to him, and he'll draw near to you. And the words that he'll speak will be exactly the words you need to hear. They'll be exactly the words that you need to get through that very moment, because his presence will give you comfort. Here's the third thing I want you to see tonight. His presence gives us a counselor. His presence gives us a counselor. Psalm 32 says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. Friend, you know you don't have to face the big decisions of life alone. That God is with you. That he has promised to counsel you, to lead you with love. That he will direct you in the ways that you should go. That he'll guide you. And how does he do that? He does it through a relationship where we seek him and we walk with him and he goes with us. We seek him in his word. We seek him in prayer. He speaks to us in his word. Here at Brill, we call that getting into our spot. And when we seek God in our spot, he fills us with his love. He reminds us that we are his, that he goes with us, and that he will direct each part of the journey. He gives us a counselor. You know, King David was a man who was well acquainted with the presence of God. And he wrote some really wonderful words about God's presence. He said, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, you're there. If I rise up on wings of the dawn, or if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Even there, your right hand holds me. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light is becoming night around me, even the darkness won't be dark to you. And the night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. Friend, the greatest present God could give to you is his presence. And if you have received this gift, God is with you. He is with you as your courage. He's with you as your comforter. He's with you as your counselor, and so much more. Whatever 2018 might bring for you, he will be with you. If you're blessed this year, he will be with you rejoicing. If you're alone, he'll be with you as your companion. If you're sick, he'll be with you as your healing. If you're lost, he'll be with you as your guide. If you're under attack, he will be with you as your defender. If you're weak, he'll be with you as your strength. If you're afraid, he'll be with you as your peace. If you walk in sin, he'll be with you as your savior. The virgin will conceive, give birth to a son. They will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. You know, what we really want at Christmas is to be with the people that we really love, don't we? Even if, like, it's you're just kind of tolerating your family so you can get to be around the people you really love, we all pretty much want the same thing, to be with people that we love. And what I want you to know is what God really wants for Christmas is to be with you, to fill you with his kindness, for you to know the gift of his presence, for you to draw near to him so that he could draw near to you. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you tonight for your kindness, for your goodness. We pray, Father, that as we seek you, you would draw near to us. That you would fill us with your presence, that these wonderful gifts of your presence would just be lavished upon us in a very real way. You are our courage. You're our comfort. You're our counselor, our companion. You're our defender. You're our hope. You're our savior. Father, we bless you. Thank you for this great present. Thank you for the gift of this baby boy in a manger that could fill us with the promise that you are with us. We love you, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
If those who are serving communion want to take your place. You know, at Christmas, we just heard a sermon about the gift of his presence that brings comfort, courage, and a counselor that personally lives inside of us. Something at the Last Supper that he wants us to do something in remembrance of me. He wants us to celebrate his death through his body. He wants us to celebrate the blood that was shed that represents the new covenant. Why? Because it was this great sacrifice that sealed the deal forever that Christ could be with you. It's the focal point of the entire New Testament, and everything hinges on this. And tonight we remember. We remember a Savior who was faithful to the very end. We celebrate a Savior who loved us. We celebrate a Savior that was rejected so that we could be accepted. We celebrate his mercy, not his wrath. And for all those who believe, we've been given the right to be called children of God. And this is our great hope tonight. So we remember his death. We remember his sacrifice that gave us the gift of his presence. And we celebrate that. And I hope in your heart you say amen. As they pass the elements around, hold on to them till the end of the song. Spend some time in prayer and reflecting about the sacrifice that gave you the greatest gift, his presence.
Forevermore, nowhere. see what God has done. No.
To us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace.
That he who knew no sin became sin so that we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus' precious body was broken, was striped and beaten for our sins. And here we are today, forgiven with no condemnation upon us because of his great sacrifice. Remember, take the bread and eat. Hold up the cup. We remember tonight that his precious blood was spilled, wiping all of our sins clean. The Bible says that he remembers our sins no more, that he cast them as far as from the east is to the west, that Jesus made the payment of sin and death and took upon the appeasement of God's wrath upon us, upon himself. All this made possible by the spilling of his blood. Let's remember and take and drink of the juice. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are grateful and we are thankful for what it cost you to be in our lives. We will always remember. In Jesus' name, amen.
Would the ushers come forward as we begin to light the candles?
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin
Christmas. Go in God's peace. Would you please extinguish your candle?